Praise God, praise God. God is good, God is good, God is great. We worship you this morning and we thank you, God, for this, a brand new day. Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to our Holiness Christian Church Divine Worship this morning. I pray, O God, that you come this morning to receive from the Holy Spirit. Open your hearts, open your minds, and open your homes to receive the Holy Spirit this morning. And at this time, I'm going to invite Sister Lordine Mills to come forth with the praise and worship.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Eternal Father and our God, we come before you today. We give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor. Mighty God, we are in awe of you, God. There is none like you. You are so great. You are so mighty. Oh, mighty God, you never lose. And mighty God, as we come before you today, God, we just want to acknowledge who you are. We want to acknowledge your presence in our lives, mighty God. We want to acknowledge, God, that we are nothing. We are nothing without your grace and your mercy and your unfailing love. Your love that loves us so much, God, it runs after us. Your goodness, mighty God, and your grace, we are nothing without you. So, mighty God, as we come before you, we just want to offer up a praise of thanksgiving to you, God, and we pray that you just dwell with us today, God, and that you dwell in our homes and in our hearts and in our minds, mighty God, and that you not just dwell, mighty God, but that you transform us, mighty God. Transform us, mighty God, so that there might be less of us and just more of you. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. We want God to come in and open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see Him. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Please open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. For righteous hours and love, we say, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Please open the eyes of my heart, because we want to see you. We want to see you. Let's tell God to open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, because we want to see you. We want to see you, God. We want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Everything holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Everything holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Let's sing that together. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Let's sing that one more time. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Because you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Hallelujah. We want to see you, God. And God, we pray that you just open our hearts, God, that we might be receptive of whatever it is that you have to give us today, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. You are worthy to be praised. None like you, God. Beside you, there is no other. Who can compare to our God? Who can compare to his matchless power? There is none like you. There's no one else that can touch my heart like you do. I could search through all eternity long, and I'll find there is none like you. And there is none like you. There's no one else that can touch my heart like you do. And I can search through all eternity long, and I'll find there's none like you. There's none like you, God. Oh my God, who can compare to you, Jesus? None like you. You are awesome. You are wonderful, and you are so, so, so powerful, God. None like you, Father. None like you, Jesus. None like you, God. None like you. None like you. We say there's none like you today, God. We say there's none like you. There's none like you. There's no one else that can touch my heart like you do. Cause I can search throughout eternity long, and I'll find there is none like you. Oh, there is none. There's none like you, God. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I can search throughout eternity long, and I'll find there is none like you. Mm-hmm. None like you, God. None like you. I'm in awe of you this morning, Jesus. In awe of you and your greatness, God. None like you, Father. None like you, God. None like you. I'm in awe of you this morning, God. There is none like you, God. None like you. And there is none like you. There's no one else that can touch my heart like you do. And I can search through all eternity long, and I'll find that there is none like you. Oh, there is none. I can search for all eternity long, and I'll find there is none like you. Hallelujah. None like you, God. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to hand over back to Sister Lana.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Truly, there is none like our Jehovah Jireh, our Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, we worship you today, Lord. We are so grateful to know that we can be considered children of God. Praise God. At this time, prepare your heart as I invite our pastor, Alvin Newton, to come forward with a pastoral prayer.
Thank you very much, Sister Lana and Sister Lloydine, for leading thus far. Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day, and I would ask that we just place our hearts and our minds on the Lord for the next hour or so as we worship Him. God said, He is a spirit, and they that worship Him must do so in spirit and in truth. So let us focus our minds, our thoughts on the Lord. Give Him that which He requires of us, and we in turn expect to receive from Him as He promised that He would. So let us go to God in prayer at this moment. Our Father in heaven, we thank You today that there is none like You. No one understands our problems, our heartaches, our difficulties. No one can answer our request like You do. No one can touch our hearts, our lives like You do. We are grateful, Lord, that You have made it possible that we can come to You. Whoever we are, wherever we are, we can come to You. You invite us to come unto You. All ye that are heavy laden, and You will give rest. This morning, Father, as we come to You in this our service, we want to thank You for Your blessings over the past days, for Your protection, for Your guidance. We thank You, Lord, that You remain true to Your words, true to Your promises. And this morning, Lord, we acknowledge Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercies. We come to You, Father, because we are touched by what is happening in our country, in our world, in our community, in our church, in our individual lives. And we come to You, Lord, asking for Your help. For Your word says, our help comes from You who made the heavens and the earth. So this morning, Father, we are lifting up to You those that are mourning because they have lost their loved ones. Our Evangelist Newville, our Sister Marjorie Wright, our Evangelist Vaudeville, and others that we may not have heard about who have lost their loved ones. I come to You this morning, Father, and pray for Your comfort, for You promise that You will comfort those that mourn, and You are the God of all comfort. So we commit these loved ones to You and their families as they go through this difficult time. We pray that You will be near each and every one, Lord Jesus. I pray for the sick. We pray for especially the Swaby family, our Sister Swaby who is in the hospital. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercies, Your grace. Pray that You will touch her life at this moment. And Lord, that You will bring healing and deliverance, that You will be with the family as they go through this difficult time. Pray for those, Lord, that we have known about for some time now in the nursing home, in the rehab, and all over, even in their home and the hospital. We thank You that You are a God who sees, You knows, and You understand, and You are a God who will do that which is pleasing to You. So we commit every issue of every individual into Your hands today. Remember those who may be joining us for the very first time. I pray Your blessing upon their lives, that the time spent with us in service today will not be regretted, but that they will be blessed because You have spoken to their hearts and their minds. Bless the one who shall break Your words. Pray You will bless the remaining of this service, Lord, and at the end all praise, all glory will be given unto You. This we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. We want to give God thanks again continually for this day in which He has allowed us to experience. And we're just going to worship Him because He's good. Regardless of what's happening in our life, we can say He's a good God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. At this time, I'm going to be singing hymn number 191, In My Heart There Rings a Melody. There rings a melody of love. Thank you. Praise God, praise God. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. This the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. To be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. To be a song with glorious harmony, when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Praise God. At this time, the scripture reading is taken from Psalm 89, reading from verse 1 to 11. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heaven. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thine strong arm. 11th and last, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Here ended the reading of God's word. We'll ask his Rachel's blessing on it. Thanks be to God. At this time, we're going to have our welcome and announcement by Dr. Nadine Lindsay.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. Greetings to Pastor Alvin Newton, Reverend Bardwell, and to all the leaders. Greetings to everyone who came out to worship today. This would not be possible without you, and we appreciate your presence. If there are any first-time visitors, special welcome to you. Please continue to pray for those who are sick and shut in, and please continue your prayers for Sister Bardwell as she mourns the loss of her mom, and also Sister Newfield, who lost a loved one, and all others who are mourning. Tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m., the men have their usual Bible knowledge meeting, which is led by Reverend Bardwell. Ladies are welcome. And remember to click on the link for information regarding dates and times for prayer meetings. and all upcoming activities. Please see Deacon Brady for information and to make a contribution towards the purchase of our church bus. And the HCC Wellness Team would like to announce that we will be giving away a pair of Montefiore Wireless earbuds to someone from the youth department. Of course, you should know that we require knowledge and awareness of COVID, so I hope that you all have been paying attention to my health tips and also your own experiences. Guidelines to win these wireless earbuds will be posted online, so look out. And please remember to forward all announcements to 975announcements@gmail.com. A brief word from the wellness team. Today I'd like to encourage everyone to get tested for the coronavirus. There are many places that are now offering free testing, and it is very important for you to know that you can be positive and have no symptoms. Everyone, including the young people, should get tested. And this is one way of taking control, and we need to take control of our lives, right? If you're positive, you know to self-isolate and stop the spread. Also, you can tell people who you have been close to go get tested. We have to stay one step ahead of this virus. And from a medical perspective, I'd like to share some things to bear in mind regarding testing. One, if you ever happen to get tested one day and are positive, and then you get tested the next day and you are negative, make sure the conditions are the same and they are comparable. What do I mean by this? Did the tester swab deep into the nasal passages and both nostrils for the first test? What happened for the second test? Please don't compare one site that did one near, which is nostril, to another site that did both nears and with different styles. Some providers swab superficially because it's uncomfortable. The correct way is to advance the swab deep into the nasal passages each for 10 to 15 seconds. Not comfortable, but it's correct. Before you say it doesn't work, make sure the conditions are the same when you repeat a test. And for those who are doing the antibody test, it is important to know that if you're currently positive, the antibody test may be negative. If you have been recently positive, the antibody test may be negative. The antibody test is memory of the virus. This takes at least 2 weeks to develop or more for some people. It is very important to know what the antibody test is and how it works. Or, you know, it is very easy to feel that it doesn't work. Again, I'm encouraging everyone to get tested. Let us take control of our own lives. May God continue to protect us individually and all collectively. God bless you all.
Praise God, Sister Nadine. Thank you for those help tips. We trust that we'll all adhere to them. At this time, we're going to have the blessing of the offering by Deaconess Lorna Brown.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, O God, for being our provider. We thank you, Lord Jesus, O God, for giving us the mind, O God, to bring back a portion of what we have earned into your house. We thank you for giving us the strength, mighty God, to go out and work. Lord Jesus, O God, we ask your blessing upon this offering. We ask, O God, that you will bless those who stretch forth their hand to give, O God, to your work. Those who have nothing to give, Lord, we pray that you will bless them also. Lord Jesus, and continue to provide for them. Bless the offering again, I pray, as I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, and good morning, everyone. I just want to say to us today that if there's a burden, if there's something you have been burdened down with, I'm just going to encourage us this morning to take it to the Lord and leave it there. He's willing and he is able. If the world from you withhold all of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, Just remember in his word how we feed the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Oh, leave your burdens there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Trust in the Lord and never doubt. He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffer pain and your health you just can't gain, and soul is going down in deep despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Oh, leave your burdens there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Trust in the Lord and never doubt. He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffer pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is going down in deep despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Oh, leave your burdens there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Trust in the Lord and never doubt. He will surely, surely bring you out. So take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. At this time, I'm going to invite Pastor Alvin Newton to come to introduce the speaker for this morning.
Thank you very much, Sister Lana. And we are glad that we can come together and to hear from God what he has to say to us through his words by his servant. I pray that you will listen intently, that you will focus on the word that shall be given to us today. Scripture says, wherewithal shall a young woman cleanse his or her way, but by taking heed to the word of God. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So it's important for us to get the word. And I'm sure today, the word that we will hear from God's servant, Reverend Bardo, will be a word that can help us as we go along this journey, as we go throughout this coming week, as God has allowed us to see each day. So prepare your hearts, and at this time I'm going to ask for Reverend George Bardo to come and bring us the word from the Lord. Reverend Bardo.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very grateful to be in your presence this morning to share with you the word of the Lord. Although we are, separate in our own different locations, I can say that I'm with you because we are connected through this internet service and the technology that we have around us. So even though we are not geographically bound together, we can still feel that closeness and vibration. And you know, the other day I was thinking that really, if I sit and listen to the television and I saw somebody preaching, it doesn't mean the same to me as when I listen on this line to hear somebody that I know really speaking to me. Somehow I feel a little closer, and you know, it really blesses me to know that we still have this medium through which we can really associate and share the word of God together. Well, this morning, I would love us to turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. I am going to speak to us this morning about the blessings of God. The passage in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to focus on verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. The words are, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together in this way and for your words. You said, Lord, that your words are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in your word. And we pray this morning, God, that as we look at your word together this morning, that they will take a root in our hearts. And from your words, Lord, we will learn to praise you and to adore you even more. May we, Lord, forever be grateful to you for what you have done for us. And for this, Lord, we will never cease to praise you. Bless your holy name, we pray this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, the book of Ephesians is normally said, there were a lot of controversy around it, whether Paul really wrote this book, yes or no. I won't be going into the authorship, but it is worthwhile to know that the content of this book is very, very profound and outstanding and has great bearing on our Christian way of life and how we actually live our Christian lives. As Paul wrote to these Ephesian brethren, we have to look at the context in which he wrote based on the community to which he was writing, the people of Ephesus. If we want to see a background of this, we may want to look at Acts chapter 19, which I won't be asking you to look, but in Acts chapter 19, we see there that Paul actually visited Ephesus. And having visited Ephesus, we notice there that there were people who were worshiping false gods and a lot of sorcery, what we would call in Jamaica, who were working, was existing in this city. It was so rampant that even the sons of the high priest, Sceva, was involved in this. Even Sceva was involved in this thing. and also not Skevia, but we also see that Christians also were practicing Obia. I could read Acts chapter 19 and verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they continued the price of, they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So we see here that even the Christians were participating in Obia. Now, this was something that Paul encountered when he got there, that people who were believers, because, you know, you want to say who was there before Paul, but Apollos was there, and so something was started, maybe not a big movement, but some form of movement was started before Paul arrived. And these people, maybe they were not properly indoctrinated or something, but they were practicing voodooism, as it were, or Obia. Now, against this background, Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesians. So when you see this letter, we can understand many of the things that went on in the culture of the Ephesians. Let us look at how Paul starts. Paul starts his letter by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. So we see firstly Paul states here that he's an apostle. And being an apostle of Christ, it means that he has the authority. Because, you know, there are some people just look at an apostle to be a messenger. But an apostle is not an ordinary messenger. An apostle is a special messenger. It's a messenger that is commissioned with authority. So this messenger is somehow different from an ordinary messenger. Ordinary messengers in the Bible might be referred to as angels, and angels are not necessarily beings in heaven, but there are some places in the Bible where we come across the word angels, and that is just referring to a human being. However, when we speak of an apostle, we are speaking of one that has a commission, one with authority. He has the power to supervise and organize, to put in charge, because he has received a charge from God. And so Paul was saying, Paul, an apostle, I have received a charge from God, and I am going to deliver to you what God has said to me. That was what Paul was saying here when he said, Paul, an apostle. And then I look at to whom was Paul writing this letter. And he was writing this letter to the faithful in Christ. So he was not writing to sinners. He was not writing to ungodly people. He was writing this letter to the faithful in Christ. And so as we look at this matter this morning, what we see in verse 3, we are going to see here the faithful in Christ, what he said about them. He said here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So we have seen this morning here that those who are faithful in Christ are called blessed. And what Paul is saying here, that the blessed, those who are blessed, must bless God. Those who are believers are blessed. And therefore, the believers who trust God, who believe that God has blessed us. And because God has blessed us, we in turn should bless God. Listen to the verse again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we see here that the blessed, those who God has blessed, those who are Christians, those who are believers, who have been blessed by God, should bless God. And so therefore, my thought this morning is, those who are blessed must bless God. Firstly, we will take a look at the blessed. When Paul speaks of the blessed, what was in his thought? We have seen this in the remaining verses of Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3 to verse 14. This is what it spells out. And to say to you this morning that those of you who might be, very educationally saggy or might be Bible saggy, you may want to understand that from verse 3 to verse 14 in the Greek is just one single sentence. The first time I read the sentence, actually, I was a little confused because you really have to spend some time to read Ephesians chapter 1 and spend some time around it to really understand this one sentence, because by the time you start the sentence at the top and you get to the bottom of the sentence, you're lost. That's what happened to me the first time I read it. I was lost. So I had to spend quite a bit of time to think about this verse. And the key verse I found was verse 3 that said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Having seen this, I began to think deeply about what are the blessings that the blessed person receive. And I look and see here that, as we say, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. I must understand, therefore, that there are physical blessings and there are spiritual blessings. Physical blessings, such like health, we have long life, we have shelter, we have food, we have clothing, we have a good economic structure. And if we have that as a family or a person, well, we are blessed. We are blessed with all these wonderful physical things. But Paul did not only say physical blessing. He said with spiritual blessing. And so there are also blessings that we cannot see, but you can feel it, like a joyful heart, peacefulness, gracefulness, strong faith, freed from sin and guilt, forgiveness of our sins, a home in heaven. These are spiritual blessings that we can also have. And so we see here, God has blessed us with blessing, not just physical blessing, but also spiritual blessing. God has blessed us with spiritual blessing. He protects us from the unseen evils, evil spirits. He gives us grace, charm, elegance, poise, and refinement. He gives us the spiritual blessing of peace and calmness, heartfelt warmness and tranquility. He removes our hostility. He satisfies us in times of drought. He took our burdens away. And now we can sing, I'm so happy. And here's the reason why. He took my burdens all away. He took my sins away. I'm so happy. And here's the reason why he took my sins away. Yes, he gives us a joy, the feeling of joy and gladness. All of these are spiritual blessings. Our blessing is not just earthly. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The blessing connects us to heaven. We have a heavenly belonging. We have heavenly inheritance, born again experience. We are washed by his blood, cleansed by his power, and we are joined here with Jesus in the family of God. And that makes us a great blessing. John said in 1 John 3 and verse 1, we read the words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who hath this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. We are blessed because God has chosen us in Christ. He has chosen us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame. If you look at verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, that's what it says here. We are blessed because we are chosen in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We could not achieve in our own way, but through his mercy and grace, we are chosen by God. We could not actually claim heaven. We could not claim the goodness of God. We could not claim the greatness that God has in store for us, except the fact that God, in his mercy and his love, has given these things to us. And so here we see the writer of this, according to how he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. None of us could be holy, and none of us could be without blame unless we receive the grace of God. It is through his grace and through his mercy why we can claim to be Christians, why we can claim to be righteous, why we can claim that we are living a godly and upright life, because of his grace and because of his mercy. And someone may say, what is grace? And often a time we hear that grace is the unmerited gift of God. We do not deserve this. We do not deserve God's inheritance, but God gives us the inheritance anyhow. But what is mercy? Mercy is that we deserve something that we did not get. We deserve to die. We deserve to be punished by God. We deserve to pay for our sins. But God, in his mercy, did not give us that. Instead, he gives us forgiveness and love. So we see the writer said, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame in love. We are not blameless by ourselves, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ on our lives, we can claim to be blameless in Jesus Christ. We can only be blameless in Jesus. Outside of Christ, we are not blameless. We are not sinless. But in Jesus, because he has forgiven us, we can say that we are blameless. Yes, we are blessed because Christ adopts us. If you look in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1, we will see that we are blessed because Christ adopts us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasures of his will. He has predestinated us, and he has adopted us as children, according to the good pleasure of his will. God was not compelled, and he was not forced to adopt us. But he adopted us out of his own pleasure, out of the goodness of his heart, out of the kindness of his heart. He sees us and he adopts us. And this adoption is by predestination. By that I mean this morning, not that you are saved and you cannot be lost. I'm not in that theory. But what I'm saying here is that even before we were born, God made that preparation in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. And so here, because of that this morning, he has adopted us according to the pleasure of his will. And may I say this morning, it is his pleasure to adopt us. It was his good heart, his kindness, and his love to which he adopts us this morning. And you look at verse 6, and you can turn the Bible to verse 6, and you will see another blessing there that Paul mentioned. Paul said, we are blessed because he freely poured out his glory upon us, which he freely bestowed on us. So he bestowed here his blessing upon us. He bestowed on us forgiveness through Jesus Christ, his Son. He held back nothing to save us. He went to the full length of the law to save us. He did everything possible to bring us to him. So the Bible said here, we are blessed because he freely poured out his glory upon us. Because God freely poured out his glory upon us, we are blessed. We are blessed this morning because he goes to the full length and breadth and to any place to save us. The songwriter said there was 99 that was faithfully in the shelter of the fold. But there was one far out in the hills away, far out in the desert. And Jesus went. He heard the cry, and he went, and he saved that one. Yes, that one was you and I. He went far out in the hills away and saved us. And we see here in verse 7, we are blessed because in him we have redemption. So Paul is saying here, we are blessed because in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. In him we have redemption according to the riches of his grace. Yes, we are redeemed according to God's riches. No sin was too great that he cannot pay the price for. No sin was too great or too large that God could not afford to pay the price. According to the riches of his grace, he redeems us. That means that it doesn't matter how far we are in sin, no matter how deep we are, no matter how we think or terrible that sin might be, Jesus is able to redeem us. As I thought of this morning, I remember that policeman who killed George Floyd, and I said, you know, if this man really should cry out to God and say, God, forgive me. God, save me. Have mercy upon me and deliver me. It was much as he did such a cruel thing, God would forgive him of his sins. God would redeem him and bring him back into the fold, just as if he did nothing at all. Oh, what a wonderful God. What a great God. What a mighty God. What a redeeming God. Oh, what a loving God. To know that even though our sins might be like a mountain and might be terrible and horrible, God will come, get down to the lowest degree and deliver us from our sins. Yes, we are blessed because in him we have redemption. We are blessed. According to verse 10, if you go down to verse 10, we are blessed because he will bring the angels, people of God, together. He will bring all things, the Bible says, together. And when I look at this all things, and I began to think about it, and saying, what could these all things really mean? I said, you know, yes, he will bring all things together in heaven and in earth. He will bring the rich and the poor together. He will bring the blacks and the whites together. He will bring the Hispanics and the Chinese together. He will bring every single nation, class of our people together under him. Isn't that wonderful to know that when you look in the society today and you see so many discrepancies, we see so many abuses, so many disagreements, so many people pulling apart from one from another, claiming to be belonging to class and demonstrations and all of this. Jesus said, in all of this, I will bring people together. Jesus is a togetherness Jesus. God is a togetherness God. God loves every one of us. Black, white, pink, blue, Hispanic, Chinese. His love is for all. And he said in time he's going to bring us all together under one. Because, of course, we are one body. We are in the body of Christ. You see, loved one, the standard for God is not culture. The standard is God's standard. God does not believe in culture. God believes in a standard. And so under God's standard, it is not a color. It is not a race. It is not a status. All are in the body of Christ. All our sins done on earth will be at the judgment. He said, I'm going to bring everything together, both in heaven and in earth. And so as I think about that, I say, all of the sins that we have done on earth is going to come together at the judgment. Because you know what? Satan is going to turn up. And Satan is accused of the virgin. We will learn about all the sins before Jesus. All the sins before God. Say, yes, God, he has done this. He has done that. Yes, he has done all of these horrible sins. He does not deserve to be in heaven. But then, we see Jesus coming forward and said, yes, on the earth, I died on the earth. I paid the price my blood was shed. The crown of thorns I put on my head.
in my body for all of these whom you are accusing today. The righteous judge, therefore, God himself, the righteous judge will rule. And the righteous judge, he said, yes, they are forgiven because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all sins. Remove all our dirt, all our derogative things that we have done. The blood of Jesus Christ washes them away. And we are now free in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus we can achieve all of this. We are blessed. We are blessed according to verse 11. He said, we are blessed because we have obtained an inheritance in him. Here the Bible says in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Yes, we have been obtained an inheritance. So we are blessed because we obtain this inheritance. And this inheritance is not by chance. This inheritance is not something that God just says dying and just say, oh my God, here's somebody dying, let's save him. It's not like that. But the Bible said here that we also have an obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of his work, of him who worketh all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, before we are born, the counsel of his will, God was thinking about it. He calls upon himself, his own will, and his purpose, his own counsel of his own will, his own being, his inner being. And he said, okay, I'm going to make a preparation for you and for me. I'm going to make a preparation for every single man that no matter what, they have an inheritance in heaven. And so we see here, as he says here, we are blessed because we have obtained an inheritance. Not by chance. Not by an afterthought. But this was something that I planned from day one. I'm going to give these people an inheritance, and nothing will prevent their inheritance. So Jesus Christ came, and we can have this inheritance in Jesus Christ today. And in verse 13, it said, we are blessed because in him we have trusted. Yes, we are blessed. The verse says, in whom you also trust, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Yes, we are blessed because we hear the word of truth and we accepted the word of truth. To hear it is not just, it's not in front of our ears as deaf ears, but we hear it and we accepted the word of God. So we are blessed because you did not only hear, but have accepted it. There are people today who are not blessed because they hear the word of truth and they will not accept the word of truth. They are not blessed. But those who have heard the word of God, heard the word, and have accepted the word of truth, they are blessed. The gospel of salvation, we are blessed because you have heard the word of truth. The gospel of salvation, it comes to you as Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from our sins. He died on the cross of our sins that we might be saved. And you heard the good news of salvation. And you open your heart and you receive the word of truth. In him, we also trusted. After that, we have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Yes, we are blessed because we heard the word of truth and we accepted the gospel of salvation. You are blessed. And in verse 13, we see, we are blessed. Because in him, we are sealed. In the Bible said in verse 13, in whom also after that you receive, you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so we see here that you are blessed because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. God did not only save you, but God saves us and he puts a stamp on us. He sees us. See us is not just putting a simple envelope on some place and squeeze on the envelope. That's not the sealing. But the sealing is like, you know, I remember, is that putting a stamp on someone. And so God says, yes, you are blessed because you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So Lord, on this morning, we must recognize how blessed we are. Because the Holy Spirit, when we give our heart to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in and put a seal on us. And also in verse 14, we see here, we are blessed because in him we are sealed. Yet after we believe the Lord, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't be sealed by the Holy Spirit if you're not a believer. And a believer is not just to believe with your head. And in your heart you don't believe. So you believe with your head only, so you don't have the full dimension. But you believe in your heart. Because you believe in your heart, then you are blessed. Because you believe in your heart. And so because you believe in your heart this morning, you are blessed. And what we notice here in verse 14, and you can take a look in verse 14, we are blessed because you have received the Holy Spirit as your confirmation. Which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of the glory. Now, here is the writer saying here, you are blessed because the Holy Spirit that God has given you is your earnest, is the earnest of your inheritance. By that I mean, you know, to understand what it really means here is to just understand what earnest really is. And I don't know if many of us, because it's a word that doesn't have to come up unless you have to deal with maybe some things. But an earnest is a payment, a small payment to guarantee that you're coming back for a proper, you're struggling, if you're going for a contract, and you make a contract with someone, but you did not pay the full amount of money. You pay a small deposit as an earnest to mean that, okay, as soon as the contract is ready, you will pay the amount of money that the contract says that you should pay. Most of you who are buying houses might be aware of that type of payment, where you pay a small deposit as to seal the contract, to say, yes, I'm in the contract, it is a binding agreement, you can hold me to the contract, here is my earnest, here is my small deposit. Well, what the Bible is saying here is that God does not only save you, but you are blessed because he made a down payment on us. He has been paid by that small deposit. And by us receiving the Holy Spirit is a small deposit to guarantee that is what he said he's going to do. It's a small deposit to say, yes, I am repossessing these people. And when the time has come, we will appear before his judgment seat and we will have the right to eternal life. because he has made a small deposit on us. Isn't it wonderful this morning to know that Jesus does not leave us out there, but that Jesus, that a small deposit is on us already. The Holy Spirit is a small deposit. Now you receive the Holy Spirit as your confirmation. My small deposit, my earnest, my guarantee that I will close the deal of purchase. That's what the Lord is saying. That's what Paul is saying here. The giving of the Holy Spirit is a small deposit in heavenly places. The giving of the Holy Spirit is a small deposit in heavenly places. Yes, we are blessed. And I hope this morning that we see how blessed we are. Now, what Paul said here in the verse, those who are blessed must bless God. Those who are blessed. You have seen how Paul laid out the various ways in which we are blessed. And he said, if we have had all those blessings, then it's our time to bless the Lord. God deserves our highest praise. He deserves our honor, our reverence. We must glorify him. We must exalt him. We must adore him. We must honor him. We must pay tribute to him. We must pay homage to him. We must give God thanks because we are blessed. This psalm is said in Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, in the good times and in the bad times. I will bless the Lord because I am blessed by God. Those who are blessed must bless the Lord. Let's look around us and see where he brought us from. Out of trouble, out of accidents, brought us out of sickness, out of prison. He supplies us with health and wellness. He supplies us with wealth. He supplies us with shelter, food, clothing, education. He delivers us from evil. Oh, yes, we have a lot to bless God for this morning. The songwriter said, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it shall surprise you what the Lord has done. Bless him this morning. The songwriter said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. We must bless God with all that is within us. Bless him not just with our lips, not with our voices, but with our emotions and our feelings. We must bless him with our attitude. We must bless him with our hearts and with our souls. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. The psalmist went on to say in Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I forget not his benefits towards me. When I think of all his benefits, I must bless him. The psalmist went on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, because he healed my diseases. He redeemed me, and so I must bless him. I must bless him because he calls me, and he calls me with love and mercy. I must bless him. In verse 5 of the psalmist, he said, I must bless him because he satisfies me with good things. Yes, we must bless him. We must bless him because, in verse 6, he said, bless him because the Lord works is righteous, and the Lord's work is justice, so we must bless him. In verse 8, he said, we must bless the Lord because he's merciful and he's gracious. He's slow to anger and he's abounding in steadfast love. So we must bless him. We must bless him. In verse 9, he said we should bless him because his anger does not stay forever. In verse 10, he says we should bless him because he does not deal with our sins according to our sins. He does not deal with our sins according to how we have sinned. But we should bless him because he does not repay us according to our iniquities. So we should bless him. We should bless him this morning because he removed our transgressions far from us. So we should bless him. In verse 13, he says, we should bless him because he shows compassion to those who fear him. So we have all right reason to bless him this morning. The psalmist, in the last verse of the psalm, he said, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This morning, we have great reasons to bless the Lord. We might be in distress. You might not be having things the way you want it. But the writer said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Whether it was good or whether it was bad, I am going to bless the Lord. That's what the psalmist David said. In closing, I just want to remind you of David. When he said this psalm, the situation that David was in. When David wrote the psalm and said, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know what? David was assailed by Saul to be killed. And he could not take the pressure, he ran away. And then there was no place for him to hide. So he went and hid in the enemy's camp. He was the one who slew Goliath. But here he found himself among the same people who had been defeated. King Goliath, he was there in that camp, hiding from Saul. And then when David recognized that, they recognized that he was David, you know what would happen, that he would have been killed. So he had to run away again from there, and he became a fugitive. Just imagine, this man has no family around him, no friend around him. He has no money. He has no food. He has no house to live in. He has no comfort, no restful place, no place of refuge. And in this situation, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, on this morning, we have been blessed by God. And so, whatever our situation is, today, I encourage you to bless the Lord. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you very much, Reverend Bardowell, and thanks for those who have tuned in, who have listened. I hope you have gotten something from the Word of God today. Understand that we are blessed, and we should bless the Lord. Understand that God has made a down payment on us. It's like a layaway plan, and he is coming back to receive us unto his own. The Apostle John said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3:2-3. My beloved brothers and sisters, friends who have listened today, I pray that you have received something from this word that will help us throughout this week, knowing that we are blessed. And we have a saying that whom God bless, no man curse. And I pray that we will experience God's blessings in our lives today and throughout this week, throughout our lives. God bless you. Thank you for listening in. And I pray that you will continue to meditate on what you have heard today. I'm going to pray a closing prayer, and I'm going to pray for those who might not have yet experienced or experiencing God's blessings in the way that the speaker spoke about. I pray that you will, from this day, commit yourself to Him and say, I want to experience the blessings of God in my life, and I want to be a blessing to God in my life. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for bringing us together today to listen to your words. And I pray, Holy Father, that as your words have been spoken to us through your servant, that we will take heed to your words, that we'll not only be hearers of your words, but we'll be doers also. Thank you again for the word. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you for everyone that come out to listen today. I pray you will bless us and you will guide us. You will protect us, strengthen us throughout this week. This we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, his Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us all, now and forever. God bless you. God keep you. Have a wonderful rest of the day and the week. In Jesus' name. Amen.